A young boy steps from the shadows. He has sores on his lips and great hollows under his eyes. His voice hasn't yet changed. He can't be more than 10, but there's an empty sound to it already, as if no one is left inside him.
"Looking for company, Gov. Tuppence."
Kartik shakes his head, and the boy fades back, waiting anxiously for the next passerby.
"There are others who will take what he offers," Kartik tells me.
Toby leads us to a wharf stacked with empty crates and the greasy light of only one lamp.
"This is a good spot," he says.
Kartik looks about.
"No escape route. You could be cornered easily here."
"By what?"
Toby asks.
"Ships everywhere."
"And the men on them are drunk or sleeping, or the very sort we need to watch out for,"
Kartik warns.
"You think I'm daft?"
Toby says, challenging him. "Kartik," I warn.
"Fine."
Kartik relents.
"Gemma, the money."
I give him the small purse with £5 inside. It's all the money I've got, and I'm loath to part with it. He hands it to Toby, who opens it, counts the coins, and packs it into his pocket.
"Now,"
Kartik says,
"what did you discover about Mr. Doyle?"
I look from Kartik to Toby and back again. "He's the one we've come to meet."
"Toby makes himself useful as an errand boy sometimes. He knows how to barter knowledge for money."
Toby smiles as big as life.
"I can find out anything, on my life."
"But this meeting was to be with the Rakshana," I protest. "I want my money back."
"First, we gather information so that we might know where to strike,"
Kartik explains.
"If we called a meeting, they'd have us caught for sure. I was one of them, I know."
"Very well," I grumble. Out on the Thames, the boats sway with the current. There's something soothing and familiar about it.
"They're pulling him in, all right. Got initiation planned for him and everything,"
Toby says.
"Don't know how much they've told him, though."
"And is Falson the one who brought him in?"
Kartik asks. Toby shakes his head.
"Falson's his minder. Somebody at the top asked for it. A gentleman."
He points to the sky.
"High up."
"Do you know who?"
"Nah, that's all I know."
"I want to find this gentleman," I insist.
"Falson reports to him. He's the one who knows."
Footfalls echo in the fog behind us. They're joined by a jaunty whistle that makes my blood run cold. Kartik's eyes narrow.
"Toby."
The filthy boy offers a shrug and a sad smile as he backs away.
"Sorry, mate. He gave me £6 and my mum's dreadful sick." "Well, well, well. What have we here? Back from the dead, brother."
A pair of black boots shine under the lamp's light. Mr. Falson emerges from the shadows, flanked by a large man. Coming up the other side of the wharf are two of Falson's hooligans. Behind us is the Thames. They've got us cornered. Kartik pushes me behind him. Falson smirks.
"Protecting your lady, love."
"What lady?"
Kartik says. Falson laughs.
"She may be done up in trousers and coat, but it's the eyes. They don't lie." "Give me your word as a brother that you'll leave her alone,"
Kartik says, but I can see the fear pulsing at his throat. Falson's lips curl with hate.
"You left the fold, brother. There's no honour between us no more. I don't have to promise you nothing."
Falson pulls a knife from his pocket. He flicks it open and the blade gleams in the weak gaslight. I scour the banks of the Thames, looking for anyone who might hear my screams and offer aid, but the fog is rolling in thicker, and who would come rather than scatter at such a ruckus? Magic. I can conjure it if need be, but then he'll know for certain that I've been lying about no longer having it. One of the ruffians tosses Falson an apple, which he catches neatly in one hand. He plunges the knife into it and separates the skin from the meat in long curls that drop at his feet. Swallowing hard, I step forward. "I would like for you to leave my brother alone." Falson gives me a vicious grin.
"Would you now?"
"Yes," I say, wishing my voice had more steel in it. "Please."
"Well then, that depends on you, Miss Doyle. You've got something what belongs to us."
"What is that?" I find my voice, despite my fear.
"Oh, coy, are you?"
His grin tightens to a grimace.
"The magic."
He moves forward, and Kartik and I step back. We're close to the Thames.